As I said a minute ago, we are beginning today a series on trust issues. And we're going to look at trust in a variety of different ways. I wanted us to start this morning by recognizing that trust is more than a belief. Just like we spoke to the kids a little bit ago, trust is so much more than just a belief. Trust is relying on someone, depending on them. I was trying to kind of get my mind wrapped around that. What's the difference between faith and trust, or belief and trust, and how does all that work together? So to kind of help me sort it out, I turned to my Facebook friends, and I asked a simple question on Facebook. What does it mean to you to trust someone? And I got some great responses. Let me share with you a few of them. One person said that when they think of trust, they see the picture of a child jumping into his father's arms in the pool. You remember when we used to do that? When mom or dad are in the pool, you're on the side, you want to get in, but it's scary. Mom or dad are there, and they say, "Come on, I'll catch you, I'll catch you." You hesitate for a while, and then finally you jump in, and sure enough, they catch you. You get wet, but it's okay because you're in their arms, and you know it's going to be all right. A good picture of trust. Somebody else said, you know, when they're talking about trust, they said, you know they won't hurt you, so you feel safe and secure. That's a good understanding of trust, isn't it? I trust someone, so I know they're not going to hurt me, and there's some safety there. I can be myself. I can be vulnerable because I'm secure in their presence. Someone else said that to trust is to be so comfortable that you let your guard down and reveal your truest self. Someone else said to trust is to feel safe because you know they will do what's right. Someone else said to trust is knowing they will always be there for you. Understand, when the Bible talks to us about trusting God, it's so much more than just believing a set of truths. It's so much more than accepting a worldview. It's even more than believing that God is. The original word for trust in the language that the Bible was, the Old Testament was written in, Hebrew, in that when they wrote that word, they wrote a word that means to lean on, to feel safe or be confident. When we talk about trust in God, don't settle for belief in God. There's a big difference, an important distinction. You cannot trust until you believe, but once you believe, don't stop there. We want to trust, to put our lives in His hands and to really depend on Him. So this morning, that's what I want us to think together about. I want us to talk about how we can trust in the Lord. And to help us with that, I want to encourage you to look with me in the Bible. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4, actually 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 5 and look at 5 and 6. Pretty close to the middle of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. Look with me as we begin at verse 5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight." That's a great passage. That's a great verse. I want us just to break it up together this morning. Let's just break it up and look at it bit by bit, phrase by phrase. Because as we do, we get the depth and the power of it. And the first thing that we notice that he says to us is trust in the Lord. trust in the Lord. You remember the last time you really took a minute to look at our currency? What does it say on the back of the dollar bill? Anybody know? Why is that there? In God we trust. Why is that on our currency? Because that is still officially our national motto. Did you know that? The national motto of the United States of America is, "In God we trust." I just wish it was still true. "In God we trust" used to define who we were as a nation. Beloved, it's not going to happen anymore. Those days are gone. You worship, you trust, regardless of what the United States of America does. Let the society go one way, you stay firm in your faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, may we in this place always say, "In God we trust." Who do you trust in, really? The famous preacher Dwight L. Moody once said, "Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. Trust in your reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity." Trust in God, because when you do that, you know that you are going to be safe and secure during this time and when time is gone for all eternity. Psalm 20 says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." May it always be. I want you to notice the next thing he says. Not only did he say trust in the Lord, but he said to do that with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all of who you are. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, monetarily, whatever other arily you can think of. All of who you are, you trust in God. It's not just we show up on Sunday to worship and we kind of check that off. Now that proves that I'm right with God and then I go about my life. It is when I show up at work on Monday morning that I trust in Him on that day. It is when I go to the ball field in the evening that I trust God during that time. It is that when I put my head on the pillow at night, I do so trusting God. It's when I write those checks to pay those bills that I trust God. You see, your whole heart, all of who you are, your entire being, trusts, depends, relies on an almighty God, a mighty fortress. The other night we were watching TV, we were watching one of those medical shows, and there's a doctor in an ER, and he's treating his own mother, which, as you know, that's not a good idea. Circumstances just forced this to happen. It's the only way it could happen. So there's a doctor who's treating his own mother, and it reaches a point where she cannot breathe, so the only thing he can do is intubate. And so he says to her, he speaks to her, and he says, I have to put you on this machine, and there is a chance that you will never come off of this machine. And then he said, "And Mom, you have to understand that to do that, I have to put you to sleep, and there is a chance that you'll never wake up again, that you could die. Mom can barely breathe, much less speak. And yet, with great effort, she picks up her head and she says three very powerful words, 'I trust you.'" She puts her life in the hands of another. And that's what we're called to do, to put our lives in the hand of another, although this other is completely capable. He is the Almighty One. And so when we're asked to trust Him, we are asked to depend on the one who is the most dependable of all. Jeremiah says, you will seek me, or God says in Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. No half-hearted search is guaranteed to end in the result of finding him. No half-hearted search is guaranteed to be successful. He says, you will seek me and find me. You will find what you're looking for in our relationship when you seek me with all your heart. Psalmist says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And then look at what he says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Why did he say lean? Well, he said lean because that's one of the meanings. That's part of what that Hebrew word means, to trust. The concept there is it includes leaning. It includes putting your weight on something that you can rely on. This is my cane. A couple of years ago, I tore my ACL. And so knee was kind of fouled up. And so for some time, I had to walk with that cane. And I needed that. That's kind of how I got around for a little while. This stick is the stick that Larry used last night when he dressed up to be a barker at the circus. You remember the barker at the carnival? You know, step right up, yeah. This thing is really good for pointing at stuff and for getting people's attention, but I wonder how many of you would trust that to bear your weight with a bad knee. Is that the one you want to depend on? Or would you choose the cane that's made for it? You see, he says, lean not on your own understanding. Why is that? Why can't I lean on my own understanding? I'm going to tell you a secret about life. You ready? Those of you who write notes, get ready. Here's a secret about life. You ain't got it figured out. You don't. No matter how much we learn or how much we grow or how wise we become, we will never fully comprehend or understand life. Therefore, we don't want to lean on our own understanding. It is inadequate. Instead, we want to trust in the one upon whom we can lean at all times. We sing, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Why am I safe from all alarms? Because he's trustworthy, because I can lean on him. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And so we want to be like the greats in the Bible who learned not to lean on their understanding but to trust in him. God says to Abram, Abram, hey, get up and leave your family. Leave everything you've known. Leave every place you've ever been. And just get up and go to a place that I'll tell you later. And Abram said, wait a minute. You need to draw me a map. You need to give me a plan. I'll discuss it. I'll think about it. And then I'll get back to you. No. God said, get up and go, and I'll tell you later where we're headed. And Abram said, yes, sir. And he gets up and he leaves. He leaned not on his own understanding. Moses was out hanging out with the sheep, and God calls him over to look at a fiery burning bush that's not burning up. It's just on fire. And out of that fiery burning bush, God speaks to him. And at one point, Moses says, hey, I can't go down there to Egypt and get those people. I can't do that. I can't handle all that. And God says, what's that in your hand? He says, oh, it's nothing but a stick. God says, throw it down. He throws it down and it becomes a snake. And God says, now pick it up by the tail. Really? On his own understanding, Moses says, I ain't touching no snake. And I sure ain't grabbing it on the tail. But he leaned not on his own understanding, and he picked up that snake, and it became the rod, not Moses' stick, but it became, according to Scripture, I love this phrase, the rod of God, which he took with him. And later it was that rod which he lifted up with his other outstretched hand over the sea, and the sea parted, and God's people walked across into the land promised to them. Because he did not lean on his own understanding. Joseph has these dreams, and God uses the dreams to direct him, and God uses those dreams to direct others. And Joseph is a godly man, and that great godly man with a miraculous, marvelous gift winds up in jail. He's in prison. And in his own understanding, he's done. They even forgot about him. He's done. But he did not lean on his own understanding, and God used him for great and marvelous and wonderful things in reestablishing his people and his nation. God one time told David, a young fella, he said, David, you're going to be my guy. You're going to stand up against the big giant that's ruining my name, that has the potential of destroying my nation. You're my guy, not the big army. Not the big soldier, you, little David, little shepherd boy, you're my guy. He said, I want you to take a slingshot and 5 stones, and by the way, we're only going to use one of them. I'm just going to give you the other 4 for fun. He said, pick up the stones, pick up your slingshot, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to go fight and kill that giant. David, in his own understanding, would have said, hey, all I am, I'm a little shepherd boy. I can use this slingshot maybe sometimes to kill a critter or scare it off. Ain't no way I can kill a big 9-foot giant. But he didn't lean on his own understanding. He trusted in the Lord and saved his nation. What a tremendous thing. You remember Jonah? He's sitting in the belly of the fish. Sitting in the belly of the fish. Stink? Golly. All them other little fishes swimming around in all that acidy kind of stuff. Nasty. How does he think? In his own understanding, surely he thought, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to wind up on somebody's sushi plate. This is it. But he didn't lean on his own understanding, did he? And he wound up taking the truth of God to people who needed to hear it more than anyone else. You see, we lean not on our own understanding so that we can trust in him with all our heart. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Beloved, don't settle for your own understanding. It's not adequate. Don't settle for trying to figure it out on your own. You can't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then he says, acknowledge him in all your ways. To acknowledge him is to recognize him and to point him out to others. It's to listen to him and glorify him. It is each step along the way I recognize God. Surely we don't only think about God on Sunday morning. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. So when we get up in the morning, we think, here's a new day because God gave it to me. God, help me to live this day in a way that recognizes you, in a way that honors you, in a way that glorifies you. And every day, in every way, we acknowledge him. We recognize him. Some folks trust when God is all they have left. Have you heard folks say that kind of statement? You learn to trust God when he's all you have left. That's true. But man, I hope I don't ever settle for that. I don't want to trust in God when he's all I've got left. I want to trust in him every day, whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley. Trusting in him each step along the way. Acknowledge him in all your ways, he says. The psalmist says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. All day, every day, all of my life, I want to acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and what? He will make your paths straight. When we learn to really trust Him, wholeheartedly, acknowledging Him in every area of our lives, what happens is He makes our paths straight. Now, that phrase, to make the path straight, means that He will direct your paths. Another way of thinking of it is that He will guide you through life. When you really trust Him, you can depend on Him, and what He's going to do is help you make the right choices. He's going to direct your path. He's going to help you wind up where He wants you to be, a right smack dab in the perfect will that He has for your life, in His plan and His purpose for you. You see, He directs your path. He guides your way. When Ashley was just, she was so young, she was just beginning to talk. And as she just started talking, we started that early helping her to memorize Scripture. It was a part of bedtime every night. As soon as she could start talking, we started telling her, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in God. And she learned that one really quick. And then we taught her, God is love. And we taught her, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. She started responding and memorizing and learning the Scriptures. And very early on, we started with this very passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we taught her, this is your life verse. Because this verse, we felt like this verse would guide her through her entire life. If she would learn to really trust God, we wanted her to know that God would be reliable and dependable, and He would direct her paths. And so to this day, Ashley considers this her life verse, the verse that defines who she is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight. You see, your life can be under the direction of the One who created the universe. Your life can be under the direction of the One who directs the worlds and the stars in all of their various pathways. Your life can be directed by the One who taught the birds when to fly south and the trees to grow up. Your life can be directed by the One who established the laws of motion and gravity. Your life can be directed by the One who knows you better than you know you, and the One who knows about tomorrow. He knows what's coming. You can't know that, but you can know Him. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for being, not only for being, but for being there for us. We're grateful. Lord, thank You for letting us trust in You, depend on You, lean on You, rely on You. Thank You. This morning, if we recognize that we have not trusted, oh, we believed, but that's different, isn't it? Or if we recognize that our trust is off and on, depending on circumstances. Father, if we recognize that we have not completely trusted wholeheartedly, then I pray that You'd give us courage to take that leap of faith, that step of trust, and to really put our life in Your hands this morning. And as we do that, if the first step of obedience is to make some kind of commitment in a public way, show us what that is and help us to do that in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together our hymn of invitation. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And as we sing about trusting in Him, if that's you, if you realize that you have never really trusted Him, would you come today to say, I trust in Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to guide my life? Maybe you've already settled that with Him and you know that you're a believer. You know that eternity is set for you. But you also would say today, I haven't trusted Him wholeheartedly lately. And He might call you to come to the altar and just pray privately a prayer of repentance, a recommitment, renewal. You could have revival all by yourself right here at the altar this morning. Maybe He calls someone else to join the church or to enter into ministry or missions. If God calls you to trust Him in a big way today, would you come and let us pray with you?